Golf Smarter number 209 for December 15, 2009.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Chasing the Dream with Jacob Bowden of SwingmanGolf.com.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and happy holidays. Ho, ho, ho. Special shout out to the menorah lighting, latke eating golfers who are celebrating Hanukkah right now. Get any good gifts? Any golf gifts? Today's show is brought to you by Golf Smarter for members only. Sign up before December 31st and take advantage of our reduced holiday pricing at golfsmarter.com. So I was doing the math, and since this is episode 209, and we've yet to miss a week, that must mean that this is the start of our fifth year of programming. I'm shocked. I'm sure you're not, but to me, that's pretty outrageous. Hopefully, you too have learned a lot about your golf game and yourself as a golfer since listening to the show. Today's no different because our guest is Jacob Bowden, who operates SwingmanGolf.com, teaches, and is the subject of the movie Chasing the Dream. For me, listening to what Jacob has to say is incredibly valuable because I'm able to identify helpful elements to my game that make a lot of sense. All right, since you and I share an internet connection with one another, let me make a couple of important announcements that you may not be aware of. So my favorite podcasts usually are tech-related, like Twit, Buzz Out Loud, and Gadget. And one of the common themes they're all talking about right now is that if you're on Facebook, and who isn't these days, make sure that you update your settings immediately. Apparently, to generate advertiser interest, Facebook is allowing anyone on the internet complete access to your information. Not just your Facebook friends, but anyone. And the information includes your friends and their friends, your search results. You get the gist of what I'm saying. Go make the update now. Next, our conversation today with Jacob was recorded on Skype. You've heard me talk about Skype multiple times because I really like the way it sounds. And, well, Jacob's in Zurich, Switzerland, so we're able to have this 40-minute conversation and there's no charge. I bring this up because this week my Skype account was hacked. And I learned that Skype doesn't provide customer service representatives that you can speak with to address your problems. Well, after some online research and a threat to badmouth them on this show, I was able to make some progress and actually received an email from someone at Skype's Office of the President who corrected my problems. Oh, yes, I'm a happy daddy now, but just be aware that you may want to think twice before you give Skype any money. For free service, it's amazing. But with no customer support, you may not want to jump into a paid account, unless they're bought out by Google, which is the rumor. Anyway, now let's get back to why we're here, to talk about Tiger Woods. Ah! No, please, no more. Okay, here are my 2 cents, or my 2 words. Who cares? I'd actually like to thank the spokesperson at Tag Heuer, one of Tiger's sponsors, or one of the sponsors that's left, for succinctly stating my feelings as well. Basically, they said, he remains the best golfer in the world, and I don't care about his private life. The only time I care about how Tiger is performing is a couple of Sundays per year. Enough. Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Jacob.
Ah, thanks, Fred. Thanks for having me.
Oh, are you kidding? You and I have been trying this for, what, 6 months now? And we, the first time we recorded, something didn't work. We didn't connect on some way. The second time we recorded a few months ago, we couldn't get Skype to work. But now we've got Skype working. We're both here. You're in Zurich, Switzerland. I'm in Northern California. And we are living the dream.
Yeah, it's great to finally get a good connection here.
Yeah. Well, it just talks about the international opportunities that Golf Smarter presents, and it's so cool that you wanted to be on with us and we get a chance to talk to you. I talk about living the dream because, you know, golfers and athletes and most people, you know, some people have a dream, some people are chasing that dream, and some people get to live the dream. You are actually chasing the dream.
Yeah.
Nice tie-in, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Because there's a movie being made called Chasing the Dream that features you.
Right, exactly.
Tell us about this movie.
Well, when I came out of college, I was I started to work as a computer engineer, and I worked that job for 5 years and did some project management, computer engineering, just general corporate job.
Yeah, let me guess, that wasn't the dream you were talking about.
Right. So I always knew that that wasn't what I wanted to do, but I was trying to figure out, okay, what is it? Well, I was doing a little soul searching. So I wrote down this list of things that I wanted to do in life, and I started checking them off. And one of the things on the list was that I wanted to attend every major sports event at least once. So like go to one Super Bowl, one NBA Finals, and so on and so forth. And as it happened, I was down in Atlanta for a business trip, and the PGA Championship was there. So for whatever reason, I ended up having the day off as it worked out. And so I decided, hey, why don't I go over to the PGA Championship? So I went over there, and as I was walking around on the fairways, I had this feeling come over me. I don't know how to explain it, but I just all of a sudden, like this light turned on inside me, and I felt like, wow, I can do this.
Wow. And I don't know. Usually when I get that feeling, I take some Rolaids or some Tums, and it goes away.
Well, it was even crazier at the time because I was just a 14 handicap, and I believe I was 26 or 27. So, I mean, it was
your age, not your handicap, right? You were 26.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and a 14 handicap.
Okay.
On my home course at that. So, so just to make sure I wasn't completely loony, over the next year, I attended a couple other nationwide and PGA Tour and Senior Tour events. And during that time, I decided, hey, you know, let's give this a go. I built up about $40,000 in savings from my job, and I put together a plan. And I was either going to pick Florida or California to go to, because I could practice year round. And I knew someone out in California, so I was like, okay, well, I know one person in California, so I'll go there. And then while I was out there, one of my buddies from college was also out there, and he was working in the movie industry. And he heard about this story that, you know, here's this guy that was working in the corporate world, and he's just this average golfer, and he is chasing the dream, chasing this golf dream of being a professional athlete. So he and I talked a number of times, and we decided, hey, let's, you know, maybe this would be interesting to follow, basically. So now it's kind of turned into, it's been a chronicling of my journey. And now there ended up, it started out with just me and we're going to turn that into a movie. But then also along the way, we picked up a couple other people. Like there's a basketball player that was pursuing an NBA career, and then a baseball player named R.A. Dickey, who was pursuing a baseball career. So we've got a couple of different athletes that are all chasing the dream, per se, and they face different types of adversity along the way. And there's enough footage to complete a story now, but they're still still collecting bits and pieces of it here. They're I think they might go until next summer, because I really want to try and qualify for the U.S. Open Pebble Beach, because I lived in Pebble Beach for a while, and I kind of feel like it's a home course, home area for me. And then the British Open is at St. Andrews next summer as well. So I'd like to try and qualify for that, because it's St. Andrews. So it's kind of like a dream year for Open qualifying. And so I think they're kind of going to wait until and see how I do. Because, I mean, for my part of the story, if by chance I'm able to get in either one of those, that would be a great way to cap off my part of the story.
Sure, absolutely. It's so cool that 2010 has got both Pebble Beach and St. Andrews in the same year on the tour. That is the awesome thing. I'm curious if you feel like Pebble Beach is your home course. How many times have you had the chance to play that course?
I've only played it three times.
That's a lot of money.
But fortunately, I was able to get on a couple of times. And then I also lived on the peninsula there over the course of a couple of years, and they have a really nice deal that something like $400 or $500 you can buy a range pass, and you can hit balls at Pebble Beach's driving range, practice on the chipping greens and putting greens. And so I've spent many days on the peninsula. I've walked the course a lot. I've watched a lot of events there, and I've only played it three times, but just because of the amount of time that I spent in the area there, I just kind of feel like it's a home area.
I know that for a professional athlete, failure is never an option. Their mindset is always, of course I'm going to make this shot. Of course I'm going to sink this putt. What do you feel your chances are of qualifying for the U.S. Open? Realistically,
I think I have a good chance. I tried British Open qualifying last year, and I missed getting through by three shots, and I felt like I could have played a lot better. So, I do think I have a good shot at it. Really, you only have to shoot. I've looked at the scores in the past years, and if you can shoot one or two under par in each of the qualifying rounds, it's usually good enough to kind of keep going. So as long as you can kind of contain yourself mentally, and you know, for me, it's just tricking my mind into thinking that I'm just playing a casual round with my friends or something, sure, and not putting any kind of extra mental strain or pressure.
What does it entail to go through the qualifying? I mean, how many rounds is that that you have to compete in?
Surprisingly, it's not that many. With both the British Open and U.S. Open, they call them different things, but the amount of rounds that you play is the same. For each, there's the U.S. Open, there's local qualifying, and that's 18 holes. Get through that, and then you're in sectionals, I think it's called, and that's 36 holes. You get through sectionals, you're in. And it's the same thing for the British Open. The terms are a little bit different, but it's basically the same setup. It's 18 holes and 36 holes, and then you're in. So if you play good golf for three rounds, you can get a chance to play in the majors.
And play in at least two more rounds, right? And then hopefully a third and a fourth,
right,
if all goes well. Well, you know that everybody in the Golf Smarter community is going to be rooting for you. We'll keep an eye out for you and all. And please keep me updated on what goes on in your chase of the dream. And I'll keep everyone updated, and we'll follow along. But in the meantime, you're still playing a lot of golf, but you're also teaching golf. Is that correct?
I do a lot of different things related to golf. Mm-hmm. And one of the more difficult things about pursuing a professional golf a career as a tournament player is when you're kind of in that, you're good enough to be a professional, but you're in that intermediary stage where you aren't getting sponsorship from large companies. So you need to be able to sustain long enough to get that experience that you need to get out to the upper level. So a lot of guys have different ways of making it. Some have family, some have friends supporting them. I do a lot of different things. Occasionally I'll teach some lessons. Sometimes I write articles for magazines. Sometimes I'll do some clinics or exhibitions, or I also have a golf website. A subscription-based golf instruction website that I run, and then I'm working on a couple of other web projects also that will hopefully fund my way out there. It'd be great if on my personal website I have a sponsor packet, and it'd be great if I can get a sponsor. But you know, I don't want to necessarily put all my eggs in that basket. I'm trying to create my own opportunities to get out there, basically. Do what it takes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got to just put your head down and just drive through it. Go right through it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your website and the things that you profess and advise on your golf website, and it's swingmangolf.com, correct?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's also mention that the movie website that you have, if they want people want to see more about this movie, it's chasingthedreammovie.com. And it's focused right now on R.A. Dickey, who there's a picture of him here pitching in a Texas Rangers uniform. So did he make it to the major leagues? Or is that a minor? It doesn't look like the minor league uniform because he's even got the T hat on. He's got the major league hat on when he's pitching.
Yeah, no. You know, one of the interesting stories about R.A. is he's been up to the majors a couple times.
Oh, wow.
And he's faced adversity where he got, you know, was kind of bouncing back and forth. So in a sense, I mean, if you count that he got played in a major league game, he you know, achieved the dream. But
yeah. I just saw the movie Bull Durham for the 450th time yesterday. go ahead, throw me a line and I'll throw the response. But, there, you know, they talk about, you know, I made it to the show for 21 glorious days. You know, they're on the bus ride there, and once you get there, you made it. You know, it's now sustaining it. It's a different beast.
In spring training, he was one of the, they were deciding between another guy and him to pull up to the majors for the last spot on the roster, and they went ahead and went with him.
Oh.
So in his first outing out, he got in the major league record books, but in a bad way.
Uh-oh.
he gave up the major league record for most home runs given up in a single game. I think or a single inning or something like that. He just gave up just a ridiculous amount of home runs, and he was on Sports Center. And so anyway,
well, you know, you got to blame the manager for that one. But, you know, again, like Bull Durham, they talk about him getting the record for the most home runs in the minor leagues. And he says that's just a dubious distinction that I don't want to share with anybody.
Right, right.
Oh, man.
So he got sent back down to the minors, and then
he chases the dream until he has a car wreck. Oh, God. Just what a train wreck there. Man. Anyway, chasingthedreammovie.com is the website if you want to see some footage from it. And there's a nice silhouette shot of you hitting a ball into the sunset. Unless, of course, you're hitting a ball and it explodes into a star. Because the way the sun looks, it looks like you've just hit that ball right there in the middle. But now I want to talk about your other website, which is swingmangolf.com. And there's a lot of things on here that you talk about that really fascinate me. One of them that I've been talking a lot about lately because of a product we've been selling on the site called Tour Tempo. You talk about fast swinging. Let's talk about the downsides of swinging quickly.
Okay. Well, one of the primary things about the unique things about the website is swing speed training. And there's a difference between swinging hard and swinging fast. I think a lot of times when golf instructors tell you to slow your swing down, what they're really trying to do is to get rid of the tension in your swing and keep you from swinging hard per se. So you can still swing fast, but you just have to have supple wrists and forearms. Tension in your golf swing can really, really kill your golf swing and slow it down and rob you of power. But anyway, about the site there, like I was saying, one of the unique things about it is the swing speed training. And there's a lot of talk recently, especially with Tiger, about golf fitness. And there's certainly a place for being fit and performing well in golf, but you can be fit and not really hit the ball far, and you can be completely out of shape and absolutely kill it. So it's more about being fast than it is fit. So what I've done is I've put together a training program to increase your swing speed. And there's a basic program And typically our members are getting 12 to 16 miles an hour in 30 days, which is 30 or 40 yards, which is great. And then we have some more advanced training also, and this was the training that I used when I was qualifying for doing qualifying for the RE/MAX World Long Drive Championships. And that is something where for people, if they want to put more time and energy and effort into it, and you can get, really make some spectacular gains. One of our members is 58 or 59, and he was in the winter, he was somewhere around 9,500 miles an hour. And then by April, he sent me a picture of a cell phone picture of his swing speed radar at 139 miles an hour, which was
I
picked up 26 miles an hour and he picked up almost 40 miles an hour. So it was really amazing. That's the extreme case.
Yeah.
But
at 59 years old to pick up 40 miles an hour on your swing speed.
Yeah. So he ended up going on and he went and started competing in the super senior divisions of the long drive championships. And he won a couple of his local qualifiers. So it was really amazing.
I really like the idea of noticing the amount of tension that you have and the concept of swinging fast, not swinging hard. I've noticed a lot of people in their swing will take a very deep breath and hold it. And you can see them tightening up, especially you talked about the wrists and the forearms. I see it in the shoulders and around the neck.
Right. Or in the whole body.
Or in the whole body. Exactly. they stand over the ball for an ungodly amount of time and then just and swing as hard as they can, you know? And you're saying that is really works against you.
Tension is, it's kind of like a rusty hinge on a door. It's slowing the club down. It feels like you're doing a lot. You're exerting a lot of effort, but really, you're slowing the club down and, it's more difficult to be control, to hit for accuracy as well. Tension can change the distance between you and the ball. So, it's just really important to swing relaxed and tension-free. You can swing fast, but you've got to swing tension-free.
Mm. And it's so, and I guess the closer you get to the green, the harder it is to lose the tension because you want to make the perfect shot. And when you start thinking about it that way, that increases the tension, that increases the pressure on success. And I guess it goes back to what many mental coaches have talked about with us, that you're all of a sudden you're focused more on the outcome than the process.
Yeah. Well, one of the things
the results, the results than the process. Yeah. And being in the moment
implemented in one of the things I implemented into my own pre-shot routine is, when I'm standing behind the ball trying to decide on the shot that I want to make, I have this thing that I do that intentionally calms me down and reminds me to swing fluidly.
And would you like to share that with us, how you do that?
Well, there's a couple different ways, actually. There's this thing called educational kinesiology, and there's basically by making certain movements with your body, it induces like a certain chemistry state of mind. I forget all the details of it, but when I'm standing behind the ball, I'll put my hand on my stomach, and the effect of that, what that does for me is I feel kind of a grounding of my energy. I feel the energy come out of my head and it comes down into my stomach. And also when I'm doing that, I might think of some roots growing out of my feet to get a more calm and relaxed and zen-like state. Because when I'm in that kind of state, it's more conducive to like a playing from the zone and I've very rarely seen hit a good shot that it was a tense shot. All of my best shots have been relaxed shots. So things that I can do to make sure that I'm relaxed before the shot really go a long way towards helping me hit a good shot. So I may still hit a bad shot, but I try and implement things like that into the pre-shot routine so that it gives me the best possible chance of hitting a good shot. Oh, another thing I also do is sometimes when I'm practicing on the range, I'll blow a subtle amount of air out of my mouth and nose. And some people might hum, but I just do it so enough that I can sense the air coming out, but not so anyone else can hear it. And if there's a disruption in the flow of air coming out when you swing, then you've got some tension in your swing. And with a little work, you can start making swings where the flow of air comes out of your mouth and nose uninterrupted. And that's when you're really starting to make some tension-free, relaxed swings. I actually did that in a tournament once in the first round. In the post-round, I was sitting in my hotel trying to figure out, you know, what was going on there. So I thought about it, and the big problem that I was having that day with that was hurting my accuracy and my distance was that I was just swinging too tense. So for the next day, I used that little trick where I was, for each of my shots, my full swing shots the whole way around the course, I blew that subtle amount of air out of my mouth, enough that I could sense it, but again, not that other people could hear it, but enough that I could sense it. And I forget how many points my score improved, but I played much, much better that day. And I was very, very, I picked up a lot of distance and a lot of accuracy that way. Mm,
very good. I recently played with somebody who, this was really disconcerting for me in the sense that, I mean, they were having success, but it was just bizarre because to help release the tension for themselves instead of blowing or humming, they just kept talking while they were swinging. It was almost,
or you can do that also.
Yeah, it's a distraction from being over focused and tense. Is they just kept talking, you know? They kept the conversation going, and they were swinging so fluidly and having such great results. I was like, "How'd you do that? You didn't shut up the entire time, and you had success. How do you do that?"
Yeah, definitely. That's another good. There's a lot of different tricks like that you can do. Some. Yeah, you know, I've also gone through the round, and I eat like a little snack bar to keep my energy up. And if you can make your swing with a snack bar in your mouth and without biting, climbing down on it while you swing, you know, that's another way. Or like you were saying, like if you can hold a conversation while you're swinging, you're kind of distracting your conscious mind there. And If you're swinging hard or tense, you'll have a jerkiness in your voice. So
that's true. So how do you lubricate? What WD-40 type of thing do you use in addition to keep yourself loose, to keep yourself from getting that tension? And boy, it's, if people could just watch themselves on video on the course versus, you know, having a coach tell them, but I don't think most people realize how tense they are when they swing a golf club.
You know, speaking of that, you mentioned the video camera. One of the things they did the other day, and I was talking about with another guy I was playing with, is if you have a video camera, take it with you on the course and record all of your swings throughout the whole round from the same angle. And not only might you actually see how tense and hard and consequently out of balance you are in your swings, but it's a great way to discover how to be consistent during the round. Like you can pick out your best swing and then just out of all those swings, and then try and subsequent rounds, try and match each swing to that swing. And then over time you can develop, this gets into something else, but you can develop more consistency out of the course.
You know, and that is so much easier to do now than ever before. You can pick up, well, When we were in Prague, one of the players had a new iPhone 3GS, and it had a video camera on there. And he sent me video of my swing, and we broke it down to a 3-to-1 tempo, which I was very pleased to see. And we went frame by frame and counted the frames, and so I was at a 30-10. But between you know mobile devices like cell phones that have video built into them, or even these flip cams, Kodak has come out with a new inexpensive video camera. There's a lot of them. I watch these a lot. But you don't even need the HD version of the flip cam. You can get for like $150. You can get one of these flip cams. And actually, that's what I use on a lot of the videos that we do on Golf Smarter. And they have an attachment for a tripod or a monopod or one of those little tripods that you can mold into holding on to something. And you can attach it to your golf bag.
And, oh, really?
Oh, sure. Or even if you take a monopod, right, instead of a tripod, and you just put it in your golf bag as like one more club, and you angle it as such so that the camera, when the stand bag, you put the stand bag on the side of you or behind you, whatever you want to do, you can angle the video camera so it's straight up and down. And yeah, you can videotape each of your swings. I think that's such a great idea because I played a round this week where I was so loose and fluid for the first six or seven holes. And then 8 and 9, I triple bogeyed. 10, I bogeyed on a par 5. Then I went double bogey, double bogey. I mean, I just blew up over 6 holes and couldn't find a way to get myself. I was driving the ball well, but I just couldn't get my approach shots to do anything I wanted them to do. And I think it would have been really interesting to be able to watch video of the whole round, just comparison of each shot. I mean, you know, what is it going to be, 30 seconds or something on each thing? So when you watch 80 shots at 30 seconds speed, so you know, it's like, so you skip watching Friends one night. I just think it's a great way to do it. You can really, boy, you watch it straight through, you are going to see where your bad shots were. Without even looking at the ball flight or the results, you'll be able to look at the swing and go, oh, I know what I did here.
Mm-hmm. And you can technology is so amazing.
Oh, it's phenomenal. And you know what you can even do? As you set up to the ball, if you say you set up your camera in your stand bag or in your bag, and you set it up before you hit, looking straight on at you, just look up real quickly and say, you know, number 15, shot number 2. And just, you know, right, do it right that way, and you'll just know. You can keep it on your scorecard and go back and watch it. Because I know there are players that go back and look at their scorecard. Listen, I'm sure that each night when you lay in bed, you can play the entire round in your head before you go through it. But to be able to watch it, I mean, I can play an entire round in my head, you know, that I did the earlier that day. I mean, there are I'm amazed when golfers are interviewed after a round on the tour and they can talk about every single shot, know exactly where they were. I don't remember what hole I was on, but you know, I can play the shots through the round, but to be able to watch them would really, really teach you a lot.
Right. Wow. And you don't even have to necessarily know a lot about the golf swing to notice the good swings and the not so good swings, so you can really isolate some basic things to give yourself a goal for to do those things and to focus on the things that make your swings work rather than focusing on, oh, don't hit it to the right, or oh, don't do this time. Focus on positive, focus on what works, and remember and recall those things that work for you, and try and make each swing like that throughout the whole round. And if you you know, after a few times of doing that, and you can make more swings the same like that and make them more of the good swings, I can only imagine that it could only help, I would think.
Sure. Yeah, you know, and it's a very consistent message that we hear. Adam Eisner recently talked to us and said that it amazes him how many players focus on what they don't want to do. Don't right. hit it in the water here. Don't go to the bunker. Don't go to right, as opposed to here's what I need to do.
Right.
You know, and whenever I hear someone say don't go in the water, you know, I'm saying the last three words there are go in the water, go in the water. That's what you hear yourself saying.
The brain doesn't seem to know the negating words like don't or not.
Right.
If you think, if the picture in your mind or if you saying or thinking bunker or water, that's
what you're going to end up.
Isn't it amazing too? Like you can have like a 80 yard wide fairway and there's like one little tree and
let's not talk about
it. Planted. Yeah.
I know that tree personally too many times. Actually, I also applied for being a branch manager at a local bank because I was hitting so many trees.
Oh, geez.
Not true. Anyway, let's get your favorite. I know that on your website, you talk about your top five golf tips, but why don't you give us one or two of them?
Well, one of them certainly is like what we've been talking about is swinging as tension free as possible. When he can do that and find ways to swing, you can still swing fast, but just swing tension free and try and be as relaxed as you can. And that's really only going to help your accuracy, your consistency, and your distance because you'll be making more contact on the sweet spot. That would certainly be one thing.
Yeah, and I think that what we've learned today, if we have a huge takeaway here, is that there is a significant difference between swinging hard and swinging fast. And it just comes down to being tension-free.
Right.
Amazing. Okay, give me another one.
Another one would be one of the bigger tips that has helped my ball striking in my progression as a golfer is the idea of keeping my head relatively still. I don't want to get caught up on keeping it exactly still, but I guess the point of that is to minimize a lot of up and down and lateral movement. There's a vertebrae, I forget the name of the vertebrae, but where your shoulders, neck, and spine intersect, and when you set up, that point in space, if you can keep that in the general point in space when you're swinging, that's a measurement to the ball there. And if you can keep your head relatively still, that's going to keep that bone there in the same general point in space. And that has really helped my ball striking a lot, just trying to keep my head more still. So tension-free, head relatively still. Those are two of the main things. And then what else?
Well, I'm curious, how can the recreational golfer who doesn't get a chance to practice a lot, who plays, you know, hopefully twice a month if they can, how do they become self-aware to know if, in fact, that they are moving their head a lot?
Well...
stumped you.
Just certainly focusing on and trying to minimize your movement a little bit, maybe a little less hand movement, a little less body movement, just trying to stay a little bit more still and then swinging fluidly will probably go a long way and help you out a lot that way. If you have someone there to help you out, like if you're on the range and going to practice for 20, 30 minutes or something, have someone hold a stand in front of you, face onto you, and then hold the a club out with the grip of the club to either side of your head. That'll help with lateral movement. I see a lot of instructors doing that, and I myself will do that sometimes to help. Actually, this past weekend, I was working with a guy from Frankfurt, Germany, and he was really moving a lot laterally, and so I held the this guy Phil Reed that I talked to. He used to call it putting the clamps on. So he felt like he was like into like some, I don't know, torture device or something. But anyway,
it sounds like tension to me. That sounds like it's going to increase your tension. It's like, clamp, you know, that sounds like.
But I would, give the person, you know, 5-6 inches of leeway so you can still make some movement. Again, you don't have to have it be perfectly still, but just as long as you're cutting down the movement a little bit, the lateral or vertical movement, that'll really help out a lot. And sure enough, the first couple swings, he was in this particular case, he was a little bit tense because he was thinking about his movement and he was thinking a little bit technically. But then once he made a few swings and started getting used to it, it was really amazing how much his ball striking improved.
Incredible. All right. So, again, the websites are swingmangolf.com. And you also have a bunch of stuff on YouTube. Is that correct?
Yeah, I got a YouTube channel, and we've got about, I think, it's at least 20 videos up there.
Oh, all right.
And it's just some basic tips to common slicing, topping, getting fit for your driver, how to hook the ball, how to draw the ball. All kinds of different things, and really focused on. I actually scripted them out, so I'm reading off a not a teleprompter, but like a. I was just reading off a piece of paper, basically, because I wanted to make them concise and to the point, and I think they turned out really good. I think on one of the videos we have 80 or 90,000 views on it already. And a lot of the videos are 5-star. The users give them 5 stars. So
congratulations. That's great.
Certainly some nice feedback there, having user feedback like that. So,
dude, you've gone viral.
Yeah. The internet's an amazing thing.
As is the technology we talked about earlier.
Yes, yes, indeed.
All right, Jacob Bowden, chasing the dream and driving the cart. Wish you all the luck in the world for qualifying in 2010 for the U.S. Open and the Open Championship. And thanks for your tips and advice. And like I said, keep me in touch so we can let everyone know exactly how you're doing.
Yeah, will do. Definitely. Thanks for having me, Fred.
And you're quite welcome. It's the holiday season, and I'm in a giving spirit. So please make sure that you come to golfsmarter.com and click on Enter Contest so that you can be eligible to win a Tour Tempo Micro Player. Deadline for entries is December 27th. And if you want to make sure that you have a Tour Tempo Micro Player to improve your swing tempo, our special pricing for non-members will end on January 1st. Now, there's been a slight change in the pricing, so let me explain. Usually this unit sells for $99.95 everywhere else, but we've been offering our listeners this great training aid for $84.95 and a member's discount of $69.95 plus shipping. Well, as of January 1st, we'll sell the piece for $99.95, but to take advantage of the tremendous savings, only the member's price of $69.95 will be available. So currently the coupon code is TTMP001, and that $99.95 unit will be $84.95, unless, of course, you are a Golf Smarter member, which is $69.95. And after the first of the year, the coupon code will change, so only the $69.95 price will be available if you are a Golf Smarter member. Now, if you're not a Golf Smarter member and you want to take advantage of those savings, join Golf Smarter for members only now before the end of December and take advantage of our reduced holiday pricing that'll end on December 31st. Also, if you're in the market for a GPS, the exclusive offer to all Golf Smarter listeners from GPSGolfDealsForYou.com, the number four, the letter U, GPSGolfDealsForYou.com, also expires on December 31st. Use the checkout code GOLFSMARTER and receive 15% off your entire order. Now, in light of all this Tiger news that we don't want to talk about, everyone keeps asking me, what do you think about Tiger? What do you think about Tiger? I don't care. We close today with advice from David Letterman, of all people, who reminds us with the top 10 reasons why golf is better than sex. Maybe Tiger should know about this. Number 10, a below-par performance is considered damn good. Number 9, you can stop in the middle and have a cheeseburger and a couple of beers. Number 8, it's much easier to find the sweet spot. Number 7, foursomes are encouraged. Number 6, you can still make money doing it as a senior. Number 5, 3 times a day is possible. Number 4, your partner doesn't hire a lawyer if you play with someone else. Wait, was he directing these at Tiger? Number 3, if you live in Florida, you can do it almost every day. He's our director. Number 2, you don't have to cuddle with your partner when you're finished. And the number 1 reason why golf is better than sex, when your equipment gets old, you can replace it. Next week, Eben Dennis, a golf lifer who has studied under Jimmy DeMeritt, Jackie Burke, and Ben Hogan. He's now a short game teaching specialist who has helped Nick Faldo. Next week, he helps us. If you have any questions, comments, quotes, suggestions, or holiday wishes, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.